From North State Public Radio, I'm Eric Adams, with your headlines for Monday, April 27th. Leaders in Shasta County are considering reprimanding their top elections official for alleged managerial misconduct. NSPR's Andre Bayek reports.
County Clerk and Registrar of Voters Clint Curtis is facing possible censure at a special called meeting of the Board of Supervisors tomorrow. Supervisors will consider adopting a resolution for what the county calls substantiated findings of managerial misconduct following an investigation. The allegations against Curtis were not specified, but the resolution cites county rules against abusive behavior toward county employees. NSPR's attempts to reach Curtis for comment over the weekend were not successful. Curtis was appointed to the post last year and is running for a full term in the June primary. A censure is a mark of disapproval, though it does not remove an official from office. In Chico, I'm Andre Bayek.
Health officials in Butte County will start testing Big Chico Creek for the dangerous E. coli strain that made kids sick in Bidwell Park last summer. The source of the bacteria was never identified. The county's health department says it plans to sample the water in early May. The county testing is in addition to the city's routine testing of Sycamore Pool during the swimming season. The county says if the results come back negative, it'll do another test later in the summer. Staying in Chico, city leaders are exploring whether to allow commercial growth of marijuana in the city. The discussion was raised at last week's city council meeting. Right now, it's legal in the city to sell marijuana through dispensaries, not grow it for business uses. According to the Chico Enterprise Record, two dispensary owners are against the idea, saying the current system works as is. The council voted 5-2 to have city staff study the matter and report their findings back to the council. Moving to wildfire, the state may soon help California seniors and people with disabilities pay to harden their homes against wildfires. A bill advancing in the state legislature would allow grants to fund contractors for wildfire mitigation. Dan Okenfuss is with the California Foundation for Independent Living Centers, which supports the bill.
Thousands of our consumers in the Independent Living Centers network live in high fire risk zones. And unfortunately, they don't have the ability, either physically or financially, to harden their homes and property to reduce their exposure. This is why the pilot program will help bridge that affordability gap so these consumers can hire contractors to make these protective modifications.
The bill would appropriate $1 million from the state's general fund to create the Wildfire Mitigation Aging and Disability Grant Pilot. The measure has passed the Assembly Aging and Long-Term Care Committee and heads next to Appropriations. PG&E says it's beginning to deliver on a promise to rein in rising utility bills. In a new interview with the San Jose Mercury News, CEO Patty Poppe said rates have dropped about 13% over the last 2 years. The utility credits lower long-term costs and investments in safety, like burying power lines. Looking ahead, Poppe said bills could remain flat or decline, even as it upgrades infrastructure and meets growing demand from the tech sector. A bill advancing in the state legislature would disqualify people from becoming local or state police officers if they've taken part in immigration enforcement during President Donald Trump's second term. This is just one of several bills moving forward that aims to hold workers accountable for the aggressive immigration raids that have taken place across California. Pasadena Senator Sasha Renee Perez presented the bill at a Senate Public Safety Committee hearing this week.
I ask that my colleagues work to protect the trust that we have worked so hard to rebuild and ensure that we do not have these individuals that have no regard for the rule of law in our law enforcement.
California law enforcement groups oppose the measure and say it would unfairly punish a wide swath of workers. While the bill doesn't disqualify workers for life, it would require that they wait at least 10 years before applying for police jobs in California. As budget season ramps up at the state capitol, Senate Democrats say they want to tax top-earning corporations to cover state Medi-Cal costs. Cap Radio's Laura Fitzgerald has more.
The proposal's light on details as of now, but Senate Democrats say the idea is to impose a tax or fee on companies with over 1,000 employees, the top 1-2% of corporations, to help pay for their employees who are on Medi-Cal. Right now, taxpayers supplement the costs. Democratic Senator John Laird chairs the Senate Budget Committee.
We want to do this to have a balanced budget, but at the same time, it does bridge some of the step back of the federal government in healthcare.
The proposal could generate $5 to $8 billion to pay for Medi-Cal costs. It has the backing of the California Federation of Labor Unions. Lorena Gonzalez-Fletcher is their president.
It is a perfect time to say, okay, these corporations, a lot of whom have benefited from the Trump administration and some of the cuts that have been made to their taxes, to their existence, need to pay their fair share when it comes to working people who are forced to be on Medi-Cal.
Business groups are expected to oppose the idea, some of whom declined to comment until the proposal specifics are made public. Laird says the proposal is mostly conceptual at this point, but specifics will be made clear through budget talks at the Capitol in the coming weeks. In Sacramento, I'm Laura Fitzgerald.
A new report questions the quality of California's publicly funded preschool programs, including transitional kindergarten. LAist reporter Ellie Yu has more.
The National Institute for Early Education Research out of Rutgers University scores those programs nationwide on things like class sizes and teacher training. Transitional kindergarten, the new grade for four-year-olds in public schools, met 3 out of 10 benchmarks last year. 6 states in the country had programs that met all 10 standards. The report's authors say the state needs to prioritize quality as it expands access to public preschool. LEU, LAist News.
Finally, the City Council in Oroville is holding its annual State of the City event tomorrow at the State Theater. The discussion will focus on the city's accomplishments over the last year and challenges moving forward. According to the agenda, highlights include a $9 million budget reserve. But the city says revenue is flat year over year and down by about $1.5 million since 2021. The city expects operations to exceed resources this year and will look to offset any budget additions with cuts elsewhere. And those are your headlines for Friday, April 24th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Eric Adams. Have a great day.